Drive with Julian Clover.
Getting you home.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Residents are planning a street celebration for a Cambridge home under threat of demolition. York House at 292 Hills Road in Cambridge was built in 1924 for Cyril Ridgeon, founder of Builders Merchants, Ridgeon's. Locals fear the building will be turned into flats and put further pressure on local services whilst causing disruption in the meantime. But what can you do when the planning rules have seemingly been followed to the letter? Sam Davis is a community activist who plans to attend Sunday's event. Hello, Sam.
Hi, Julian.
Thank you very much for coming in. So what's the story here? How long has this property, first of all, been empty for?
So the property transferred ownership in, I think, late 2015, early 2016. And it's been vacant since then, despite the fact that it's in a absolutely top-notch habitable condition, which has obviously caused people to wonder what the plan was for the site, because it didn't seem like a great investment to have a £1.75 million house sitting empty for 2 years. And a couple of weeks ago, that question got partially answered because a demolition notice got attached to the gates of the house. And that's where the story really starts.
Now, tell me a little bit more about the property first. It sounds like a nice part of Cambridge, family, 2.4 children, or it's probably 1.9 these days, but you know what I mean, a happy family living there perhaps, and then they decided to move somewhere else, and you'd probably expect a family quite similar to move back in again.
So lots of your listeners will know this site because it's on such a prominent corner. If you're driving up Hills Road towards the city centre, come across the Addenbrookes roundabout towards the Long Road Junction. It's the house on the left-hand side, right on the Long Road Junction, behind some railings. And the thing about the house is, as you described in your intro, it was built for Cyril Ridgeon, who was very much one of Cambridge's up-and-coming entrepreneurs in the 1920s. And there is a lot of belief, though sadly no ability to prove it, that the house was built to design by Lutyens. And if you look at it, you can see all sorts of references, certainly.
Who are Lutyens?
Lutyens, major, major English architect, early 20th century. If it were possible to prove it was a Lutyens, then we would be in entirely different territory at this point. But
and Cyril Ridgeon, yes, as you've mentioned, an entrepreneur in his day, and obviously behind the firm that we're still familiar with across Cambridge and beyond. So one would imagine that the house was built to a pretty good standard.
It's beautiful.
Was it kept in a good standard by the previous owners?
Yes, it absolutely was. And if you take the time to actually stand and look at it, you have to work a bit harder now, because the one thing the current owners have done to it is completely strip out the garden. So there's not a scrap of green really left there. So the building doesn't exactly shine in its setting as it should do. And they're also somewhat confusingly sticking up a couple of fairly unattractive double garages. But if you just take the time to stand and look at the building itself, look at the brickwork, look at the stained glass, you can see that was a building of quality. And for me, the Lutyens link would have been the icing on the cake had we been able to prove it. But even without that proof, it is a building which really adds some grace to this streetscape on that junction. It's a part of the city's history, the town's history. And There's no justification for knocking down. There is nothing wrong with that house.
Now, I kind of feel we've been here before in a roundabout way. There was Wilton Terrace a couple of years ago. You could argue, or some people might argue, that a few houses in order to redevelop the area, that's maybe what needed to be done in that case. Others would say, hang on a moment, this was a row of beautiful properties that really should have been left as they are. But this one sounds like it's slap bang in the middle of a residential area. So what I'm trying to work out is how it gets sold to a developer. Is this a family or somebody within a family? And why, a friend of mine in London seems to move from house to house, tidying things up and then letting or selling it to somebody else. Or is it somebody much bigger behind?
Several family homes, detached family homes in the Queen Edith's part of the city, which is what we're talking about, have been bought by developers. When 292 was sold, I don't think anybody really identified that it was a developer. It seemed like it was just going
to... Have you spoken with the people who sold that property?
They're in Israel, so a couple of emails, but no direct contact.
Right, okay. No. And who do they say they sold it to?
They believe they were just selling it to a family who were going to move in.
And presumably, though, to do stuff like popping up a garage, you need to have planning permission.
Yeah, so this is really where I start to get very frustrated with the planning regime as currently configured, because obviously if the owners of the site were proposing to demolish the building but were simultaneously submitting the planning application for their proposal for the site, then one could have an informed conversation about what was going on and whether what they were proposing did have merit over and above retaining the property that's there. And, you know, I'm not so dogmatic about these things that I can't admit that there could be a possibility of that. But the point about the method they've chosen in this instance is that by simply applying for the demolition, there's no opportunity for that conversation to happen. The City Council is simply asked to approve the method by which the demolition will proceed, and as long as it's safe and as long as it doesn't inconvenience the neighbours completely unreasonably, then no one has any power to stop it. And the only way it could be stopped would be if it were a listed building, which it isn't.
Now, that doesn't work, roundabout way. That doesn't quite make sense to me anyway, because there was until recently a sandwich shop on Norfolk Street, the Norfolk Street Deli. You might have gone into it. Very nice sandwiches. That was closed and permission was sought to turn it into residential property again, which I think from memory was certainly refused originally. So you can stop a shop from becoming residential accommodation. This is kind of my point, really. A change of use from being a nice family home to being a bit of rubble on the ground sounds to me a little bit more dramatic than changing from a shop to a residential home.
It is
home.
Quite a significant change of use.
So how come you can't do anything about that one?
Because that's the way the legislation is written. And that's why we've had to accept that in all likelihood this demolition is going to go ahead. But we don't want the loss of this house to go unnoticed. And that's why on Sunday we are holding a little gathering outside the street, outside the property, just to take the time to look at that house and think about the role it's played in the history of the city, the space it's made on that corner of the street, and maybe talk a little bit about whether there's stuff we can do going forward to try and at least slow down the rate of attrition with the loss of these historic houses.
Mm. And who's you expecting to come? Lots of people, one would hope for. But,
well, I'll be there.
You count as two or three, so that's good.
No, I hope there'll be a reasonable gathering. I think there is a lot of anxiety, is overstating it, but concern certainly about how the growth of the city and the amounts of cash to be made by doing these developments mean that there is every incentive in the world for the city's historical neighbourhoods and historical housing stock to be lost in a way which is unplanned and where there's no scope for taking account of the cumulative effects of that.
Does this need national legislation or just for the City Council to take a different approach?
Well, obviously there's a very fine balance between national legislation and local legislation, and the way the national legislation is going at the moment, it doesn't look terribly promising. But we would at least like the City Council, when it comes to putting its next local plan together, to have a robust discussion around these things. It's very hard for residents when playing against developers, because developers stand to make money out of this. So they're willing and able to invest in procuring professional services from the companies that specialise in these kinds of areas. Residents, a lot of the time, are having to start their learning from first principles and in a hurry, because these proposals always come with deadlines.
But this is Cambridge. Don't you have any friendly lawyers living around the corner who you could ask and would be willing to get involved in this sort of project?
I think it's a question of equitable access to the law, actually. So yes, in Queen Edith, there are people with that kind of expertise, and that's one of the reasons we've managed to at least postpone the demolition of 291 Hills Road. But you may be familiar with the proposal to demolish the Montreal Square social housing. Now, that's a different demographic, and it might be much harder for people in those kinds of settings to access professional services
so
and
how,
get the advice
they need.
How
do we
need.
Help them, in which case, to, well, basically fight the same fight that you're fighting?
So my suggestion, and a project which I've unsurprisingly started kicking off in the last couple of days, is to, at the very least, set up a website, cambridgeplan.org.uk, where we'll compile guides to planning policy, guides to the kinds of things you can object to within planning policy, guides to the kinds of things that you might feel you ought to be able to object to, but if you proceed on those grounds, you are wasting your time because they don't get any weight in the planning process. And also look at some case studies of projects which have been successfully either turned down or at least moderated by knowing how to use the planning system, and ones where residents have lost but might have gained some knowledge in the process as well.
And what time on Sunday then, if somebody wants to come along to 292 Hills Road?
Yeah, and, 3 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. And just as a little mark of remembrance, if people would like to come with a white rose, the house is called York House. The white rose is the symbol of the House of York. We thought it would be a suitable send-off for a very dear friend.
That's very good. Sam Davis, thank you very much for coming in this afternoon. You come back and tell us maybe a little bit more about the website when that gets off the ground as well.
Absolutely.
It's 4:46.